Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this very grim edition of the Transatlantic Slave Trade. Now, there's a reason why we came up with that. That came from producer Brian, and I think we'll just get into it right now. You say, why would you name something with the episode about this? Well, actually, before we do that, I am Miles. That there, Ramos, a.k.a. Becca Ramos. What's up?
Hello.
How are you, producer Becca?
I'm all right.
How's New York?
New York is New York.
So hot?
It's that time of year where it's like 50 degrees in the evening, but like 75 during the day.
Sure, you're
like,
okay.
Can I wear my fur-laced Boston Birkenstocks?
What's a Boston Birkenstock?
It's like the clog ones.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I bought a pair finally, but I feel like I look like a gnome, so I haven't decided if I'm going to keep them or not.
Okay. Well, post picks so we can judge and do a poll, do an IG story poll, and everybody be kind. But yes, let's tell you what is trending aside from Boston Birkenstocks. Don Lemon. Okay. The reason we talked about the transatlantic slave trade, Don Lemon had he had a guest on CNN. Who is this, I believe, just a royal commentator, like someone whose specialty is having takes on like the royal family. And he asked a question about saying, hey, you know, a lot of people are asking about reparations, you know, because of like the whole British Empire thing. Y'all had a hand in pretty much nearly every country except for like three. And what's the take from the royal family, you think, about people asking for reparations? You know, y'all got all that money that, you know, you basically stole. Maybe we can get some of that shit back.
All the museums.
And this woman's response is like so, she's like blank faced and gives this response about, I'm just going to play the whole thing. It's a little bit long, but I just want you to hear how his question is, what do you think the royal family should do about reparations? And then this is the answer she gave.
And members of the public are wondering, why are we suffering when you are, you know, you have all of this vast wealth? Those are legitimate concerns.
Well, I think you're right about reparations in terms of if people want it, though, what they need to do is you always need to go back to the beginning of a supply chain. Where was the beginning of the supply chain?
Uh-huh.
That was in Africa. And when across the entire world, when the slavery was taking place, which was the first nation in the world that abolished slavery? The first nation in the world to abolish it. It was started by William Wilberforce. Was the British.
Okay, so just so you heard that, she said, if you want to talk reparations, go to the supply chain for the slaves. That's Africa.
the use of supply chain in this conversation about the stealing chattel of slavery. Human lives and using them in barbaric ways through abuse of power is absolutely insane. Like, literally my skin crawled the second she was like, yeah, the supply chain, like, you know, it's like product and, you know, just like,
well, they came from the slave factories in Africa. Like, what? So she goes on to then be like, oh, but that's why Britain was good, because Britain was like, we're not doing that. I mean, many
after
years
we already
later
took everything. Yeah, we took everything. And also, in fact, it didn't really stop.
And they fought with them, and she'll go on to give her answer.
Great Britain, they abolished slavery. 2,000 naval men died on the high seas trying to stop slavery. Why? Because the African kings were rounding up their own people. They had them on cages waiting in the beaches. No one was running into Africa to get them. And I think you're totally right. If reparations need to be paid, we need to go right back to the beginning of that supply chain and say, who was rounding up their own people and having them handcuffed in cages? Absolutely. That's where they should start. And maybe, I don't know, the descendants of those families where they died in the high seas trying to stop the slavery, that those families should receive something too, I think, at the same time.
Like, am I supposed to give a pat in the back to the white people who decided, like, I guess I'll enforce this, like, slavery, like, killing, ending of slavery thing? Like, no, I'm not going to pat those white people on the back.
Right. I mean, yes, there are people who, there are African people involved in the slave trade. That, I mean, that is such an oversimplification to be like, oh, well, I mean, you're talking about like other reparations, like for people around the world that have been impacted by the empire. I don't know. I mean, like, you know, like African people technically like started it. So like, I don't even have to think about it. And also 2,000 sailors lost their lives. What, like 13 million Africans were shipped to the New World? Anyway, all good. Look, I get it. And now conservatives, the reason it's trending is because conservatives on Twitter are like, we've got our new talking point. And they're all just kind of like, there's some people who are tweeting this and being like, damn, that was a fucking terrible answer. And then half of it is conservatives being like, oh my gosh, this woman lays the smacketh down on Don Lemon. So anyway, there we go.
Yikes.
What a time to be alive. Okay, let's talk about Hurricane Fiona. I did see a piece on Vox that said, why is this hurricane like so messed up in like,
I literally wanted to punch air.
truly being like, I thought this is just a normal, like, why is it hitting so hard? And they do talk about the infrastructure issues, the privatization, but not like in a really scathing way, which you're like, really, if you're really that interested at this point, if you're still have not heard or and are concerned about what is happening in Puerto Rico, truly, truly need to look at the relationship between, you know, how the United States has turned this into a colony still, without many options to do what's good for themselves, infrastructurally speaking, because of all the privatization. Anyway, I just saw that. I thought of that as an aside because it's like, you know, Vox knows how to read the room. And they're like, okay, so people are probably looking into this. Let's give them a simple explainer without kind of fully, I think, giving the full scope. But now it is a Category 3 hurricane.
Yeah, so it actually did get worse. So originally it was labeled as a Category 1. And like Miles said, people were confused at the damage if it was a Category 1. But it's like, if something never recovered from its original accident, then like, how is it ever going to protect itself from another catastrophic storm that is even more minor than the original storm? But now it is a Category 3. 1 million plus people in the Dominican Republic are without power. Still over 80% of Puerto Rico is without power. So please donate today. I'm going to put some links in the footnotes of like where to find reputable places to donate. Like think like mutual aid funds, think like local organizations. Do not, I beg you, do not donate to the Red Cross. The Red Cross will not help the Puerto Rican people. So who shot?
Oh, no way. I gave them so much money during the Haiti earthquake. Mean they didn't, they messed that up?
You mean they didn't give it to the people? Oh, crazy.
Fuck. Yeah, please. Look for organizations that you can feel like your contribution will be felt rather
and also
than like in
learn
a C-suite
about Acts 20 and 22, you know, and like that's a huge reason why what's happening in Puerto Rico is happening, like the hurricane devastation and things like that, because like big companies and like private citizens can go and buy land in Puerto Rico and they don't have to pay taxes on it. And therefore, those tax dollars are not going to helping the Puerto Rican people. And those private citizens do not have any onus to the island to help when things go that bad, right? So they get to leave and be like, I'm going to fly my private jet to
and my insurance company will handle it.
And my insurance company will take care of my house or my building or whatever. But the people of Puerto Rico are the ones who are without housing. They are without so many things because of these private citizens and companies taking their land, literally colonizing it. It's not a joke that it's modern day colonization. I speak this so passionately as someone who's a Puerto Rican person from the United States, but also just like, I don't know if you have any onlooker. I it literally makes me cry, like watching what's happening in Puerto Rico. And like, it's so eerie, like 5 years almost to the day of Hurricane Maria did Hurricane Fiona like hit Puerto Rico. And it's just like, I'm getting teary eyed thinking about it right now, just because like, even though I've never lived on the island of Puerto Rico, it's almost, I feel like when you can feel that generational trauma, like watching the island, you're just like, wow, like my people, the people I come from, like it's never getting easier.
Yeah. And are seen as disposable by the government. I have to pay my taxes too.
Yeah. It's like, it's hard. You hold so much privilege being stateside, but it's like, God, looking is so like your parents left so that you could live this better life here in the States. But like watching is so hard. So yeah, I encourage everybody to please do what they can, donate what they can.
Yeah. And educate yourself. So you can also have a healthy sense of outrage when you see fucked up shit like this.
Today is National Voter Registration Day. So
hey, there it is.
You've registered vote.
Let's move on to the next thing that's trending is MAGA Sweat Fest. Well, I'm just calling it saying that's trending because today was the first meeting of Trump's lawyers and the DOJ lawyers over a meeting with the special master, the person who Trump was like 2 weeks too late, was saying like, we need somebody to look at the documents to make sure that there are things that the FBI might not be able to get their hands on due to attorney-client privilege or executive privilege. And the DOJ was like, sir, you are a normal fucking guy. You have that doesn't exist for you. What are you talking about? But Trump's favorite judge last week did go above and beyond for him to help him, you know, saying, you know what, I'll grant your request for a special master to review the seized documents. Every legal expert in the country was just completely like, this is like the worst thing I've ever seen from a judge. Like I don't even understand the legal arguments that this judge has made to be like, Trump may be stigmatized and I don't want that for him. And so the documents, now he's got a special master. And at the time we were trying to figure out where is this guy? What's his deal? Because at first, a lot of people were like, he's probably just going to find some MAGA cultist to be the special master to look at the documents. But no, they've got this semi-retired judge who was like appointed by Reagan, and he's like old school. And the reporting suggests that the reason Trump may have picked him or even put his name into the list is because he has a super low speed way of working. So I think that made him an attractive candidate because their only weapon they have now in their arsenal is to delay the shit out of this.
Yeah, time.
Many people were waiting to see what the judge, like how he would operate. But he kind of, before the trial, this hearing even kicked off, he was like, just so you know, like before we do this, can y'all show me the receipts of when this shit was declassified? Because that's actually really important. I know this other judge acted like it didn't fucking matter. But if I'm going to like wrap my head around this and go through these documents, I need to fucking know that this shit was even declassified. Because the way I'm looking at it, the shit says classified as fuck all over it. That led his lawyers to be like, oh, y'all want proof? They were like, hey, come on, man. Don't make us file something like legally in court. That is totally not true. Because obviously that would be bad news for us as lawyers as well. So right now they're like arguing like, do we have to? And the judge is basically saying, I don't see how the fuck anything I say matters unless you can prove this shit's declassified. So what he thought was going to be a win seems like he just ran into somebody who at the very least was like, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm going to do the bare minimum here, which is like, you can't just say shit's declassified. Like, you got to show me some receipts. So we'll see. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back with some more internet news after this.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last two decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery. But that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. GTA 6 is trending. Now, some of you may know some poor soul who has wasted countless hours playing the video game franchise of Grand Theft Auto.
It was a staple in this apartment for a little bit.
Okay, okay, yeah.
Not from me.
Not from you? Okay. I didn't know. Hey, I didn't know, you know. I know people, like, I know everybody. Many people get down with GTA. But GTA 5 came out, I think, what, 2013, I believe. And since then, many consoles have happened. We've had PS3, we had PS4, we had PS5, and there still was not a new GTA game. And we're like, the gamers were like, what the fuck? It's been like a meme on the internet that, like, whenever the developer Rockstar announces a new game, everyone's like, where the fuck is GTA 6? So it was wild because over the weekend, a hacker hacked into Rockstar's servers and leaked all this development video shit, like, of stuff.
Said I was done. I want to see the game now.
He's like, y'all want to see it? Check out this early fucking footage of them in development. Here's some of the shit. See, look, this is the character. You can see how they're working on it. People were losing their minds because they first were like, a woman main character. And then people were like, we're back in. Okay, look, there's spoilers. Look, if you really care, then fucking skip ahead. But then they're getting mad because they were in, like, Vice City from one of the earlier GTA games. A ton of controversy. Now the fucking FBI is looking into this massive leak. I didn't know that the feds were fans of the gaming franchise, but I get it. You know, we all let steam off with games in our own way. But yeah, it was a very, very big moment in the video games community the last few days.
I'm sure they're digging into it just from a cybersecurity standpoint of like, this is a big ass leak.
And, like, and it's never happened. Nothing like this, right? Has really, not with video games. Like you typically, they're, shit's under wraps until they're ready to show you like teasers. So a lot of, I mean, it's already thankless to be like a, you know, developer programmer for a video game to be like, I've been working on this shit for years and some fucking hacker just dropped shit off that's unfinished and letting people be like, this, some people are like, this is the game? No, whatever. I'm getting too old to be upset. I'm just like, let me see that. Oh, okay, cool. Oh, look at that. Got some, oh, okay, okay. We got different looking characters. I see what's going on here. And it still looks better than Saints Row that came out. Next up. NyQuil chicken. Have you seen, okay, so I'm gonna ask you back because you on TikTok too. Have you seen any NyQuil chicken content?
No, and that's the craziest part. I'm like,
I'm gonna search right now on TikTok.
I'd be on TikTok and this is like, I get onto Twitter for the show today and I'm like, this can't be trending right now. Like this, it simply is not true. And then it was like, yeah, FDA says, like trending with Tide Pod Challenge, whatever. People are, I guess, doing a challenge of marinating your chicken and cooking it in NyQuil and then eating it. For what purpose? I don't know. To be disgusting? I have no idea, but I can't believe the FDA had to release a statement about this.
I mean, it's wild. Well, yo, there's videos from like 2021
with people
pouring NyQuil on their chicken. I think this is just a totally fucking trolly, stupid bullshit thing. But, you know, the FDA is like, man, there are such highly concentrated compounds in there. Like, you could get potentially injured from inhaling the vapors or whatever, or like the chemical reaction that could happen from heating it. I'm like, you don't got to tell me that. I'm not trying to fucking cook anything in NyQuil.
Purple, blue, turquoisey color, like draining it.
This is just all, I feel like we're smart enough to start doing new things like this that are just troll things that are like end up at a newsroom's desk and then the FDA's gotta be like, yeah, don't do that. Oh, y'all aren't painting your feet? Y'all aren't painting the bottoms of your feet with lead paint to go out? Because it keeps your feet soft or some shit. I don't know. Anyway, NyQuil chicken.
Be careful, someone will believe
what happened to the pink sauce lady? Did she go to jail?
I actually saw a video about I don't think she went to jail, but I did see a video the other day that was like, we have to stop with the pink sauce. I cannot keep watching people do the same mistake over and over. But I was like, it's funny that video popped up today because I was like, I have not seen the pink sauce in a while. So
yeah,
I don't know what happened to her, but God bless.
She got a website now.
Oh, no.
Okay. Do she got a brand deal.
She doesn't even know what FDA meant.
I know. Don't worry
about it. She thought
it
meant pharmaceuticals only, not Food and Drug Administration.
I thought it was fucking drugs and shit. The FDA stood for
fucking Drug Administration. That's
fucking
for sure.
Drugs and shit. And then finally, Chris Redd. He is leaving SNL. He's what now? How many people have left?
8 people. So we actually covered this the other day when I was on with Jack that they had announced 4 new cast members, but the week before, 3 more cast members had said they were going to leave. Initially, it was like 4 people. Then it was an additional 3. And now Chris Redd is the 8th person to say they are leaving this season of SNL. I don't know if it's unusual that SNL has not announced the official cast yet. We are only, I want to say, it is the 20th today. Well, bad day. Yeah, we're only like 2 weeks out from the like first episode. So it does seem like we're coming close.
We do have it. Right? We know who the 4 new cast.
No, we know who the 4 new, full... but like, yeah, SNL hasn't released like, or NBC hasn't released like, hey, this is the official cast for season 48. Like,
here is the
first guest for the first episode, which is October 8th. So it feels like a lot is happening behind the scenes at SNL this season. I don't know if it's record breaking that 8 people have left, but it does feel odd that 8 people,
when's
the
first episode?
First episode is October 8th, so just in a few weeks.
Okay, because last year they did it around October 1st.
Okay.
They take shit to the wire. And also, like, I know getting on there, too, is like, it's mostly like if you get a call, if they ask you to be back, it's very harrowing to work on that show from
I mean, I hear it's a really tough process. Like, from, I mean, A, you're on a show that, I mean, we do a daily show, but like, they have to do everything new. Like, everything's last minute, everything's around the clock 24/7 up until the minute. And then it's live for an entire, you know, 2 hours every Saturday. Like, I feel like every step of the process at Saturday Night Live is very tough, whether it be you are a writer or someone who's on the, you know, the set design team, the crew, the cast, like every aspect of it is tough, no matter where you stand in line of the show. But yeah, I can imagine it's hard to get on, and I can imagine it's hard to stay.
Well, we shall see. All right, y'all. Well, till then, till the next episode, we've been us, but please tune in tomorrow. We got a brand new episode. It's fantastic. And until then, hey man, get that new shit, that new booster. You know what I mean?
I did that get it.
Oh, you got the new shit?
I did. Wow. That's why I was down bad last Monday.
Were you? I don't remember.
Yeah, I didn't come in till like we started doing trends.
I didn't even realize.
Yeah, I had to lay down. I was unwell. The day of, I was fine. I got it done last Sunday. So not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before.
Yeah.
I was like, great day. I'm killing it. I'm doing life. And then Monday hit and I was like,
yeah,
I was out. I was my first call of the day. I was like, I'm not even here.
Well,
I am fever
get
high.
That new shit if you can, because the pandemic is not over despite what Joe Biden says, because I think he said the pandemic was over. Yeah. Okay.
One other thing.
Yes.
Next Up application.
Oh, yeah. They went live yesterday. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Check our, I think pretty much anybody from this show has tweeted the link. In fact, if you would like to be part of the next generation of podcast voices under the loving guidance of people like Anna Hosni and Joelle Monique and many other people, check out iHeart.com/nextup, NEXTUP.
The application will close at midnight PST on September 30th. So you have until September 30th to apply.
Yes, yes, yes. Please look in there. And again, this is all about people who are underrepresented in podcasting. If you feel you have a perspective, a voice, a story that is just not being represented, this is absolutely the place to apply to begin the tools to like start making your own content. And, you know, we've had a few of the past fellows on, as we call them, the Next Up fellows on. They've been fantastic guests. So if you feel that this is a program that you could benefit from, by all means, please apply, because we would love to see you. Until then, wear a mask, stay safe. Don't do nothing about white supremacy or any other kind of hate. Be a voice for good. We will catch you on the next episode and have a great day. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
We are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.